Almighty God, as we come here to the end of this day to worship you, send your spirit into our hearts, open our hearts, receive your spirit that's here, that we may know the need to cry to you, Abba, Father, know the source of strength and healing and hope there is in knowing you as our Father, and the salvation there is in knowing and clinging fast to your Son, our Savior, Jesus. May he be present tonight in our worship and in this moment, and in his name I pray. Amen. So, good evening. If you're a regular, you know that I sometimes begin my sermon with a little bit of humor. Maybe it's true, or maybe it's a joke we've all heard or know. It's a teaching technique that's been used over the years to try to put the hearer at ease, to connect the speaker with the hearer. But there are a lot of ways of doing that without using humor. And this evening, I want to talk about pain and suffering, because frankly, that is an experience that connects us all, doesn't it? I mean, it's a tremendous privilege to be a pastor and a priest. We are invited into some of the most wonderful celebrations in life, the birth of a child, a marriage, a relationship restored, a deeper or new understanding of God's grace, his presence. It's also a profound privilege to suffer with people, and I've done that with many of you. Mary and Suze and the rest of your clergy staff, we've been here with you when the job loss has come. The diagnosis is not what you wanted it to be, the marriage crisis. In my 10 years here, I have buried the aged and the young adult and the child. I have buried those for whom it seemed their time had come, as we say, and I've buried those who seemed to have been taken away too soon. Humor can connect us for sure, but you know, not everybody has a good sense of humor. Pain, well, that's something we've all experienced. And maybe some of you are experiencing pain tonight. One of the unfortunate responses well-meaning Christians often have for pain and suffering is actually plucked from this lesson in Romans today that Judge Wooldridge read just a moment ago. Paul writes this word to the Christians in Rome. He says, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God." Here's a pastor's tip, okay? Never, please never use that as an explanation for why someone may experience suffering in their life. A few years ago, one of our members orchestrated the visit of Kay Warren to speak to a group of mothers who had experienced the death of their child. Kay Warren, as you may know, is the wife of Pastor Rick Warren, one of America's favorite pastors, best known for his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. But in the spring of 2013, he and his wife Kay traveled into the Valley of the Shadow of Death when their son, Matthew, having experienced a lifetime of mental illness, sank deeply into depression and took his own life. At the talk that she gave here, Kay talked openly and brazenly about her grief. And she said some people would come up and pitch out this little passage from Romans 8:26 as if it were some kind of magic tonic. "Don't worry, Kay," she said, some would say, "all things work together for good." As if God had a meaning, a purpose, had in some way caused Matthew's death. And then she said in a clear voice to all of us there, "There is nothing good about Matthew's death. Absolutely nothing good about my son's death." If you ever attend the altar service, which happens 11:15 in the old church, during Lent of this year, I actually shared this little vignette in that service, so forgive me for the repeat if you were there. But years ago, I was fortunate to spend an evening with Rabbi Harold Kushner. Following the death of his 14-year-old son, He was inspired to write the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He said a lot of very good, very insightful things, but one of the things that struck me was just simply, he said, you know, if I wrote a book entitled Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, it would have been very short. It would have been four words. I do not know. He hit the nail on the head. But we'd like to know, wouldn't we? I mean, loved ones take their own lives. Babies die in NICU. Investment scams delete retirement funds. Good marriages seem to fail. Children we've loved and reared our entire lives take a turn down a dark road. And all of them tend to make us question our faith, our belief in a loving God. Why is a good question. It's okay to ask. But there's really no satisfactory answer if we want to move forward as people of faith. So what is the answer? Well, as hard as it may be to embrace, ultimately, this passage from Romans is not about God working ill on his loved ones to prove a point. It is instead about the reality of life, that bad things do happen, even to his children. And the cure for the heartache we feel is not to gloss over it by pretending it doesn't hurt. The cure is to turn it over to God. I've heard people say, and I bet you've heard this too, people say, the Bible says God will never give you more than you can handle. How many of you have heard people say that? You know what? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Nowhere. It's not in the Bible. The Bible does say that when life gives you more than you can handle, invite God in to handle it with you. Kay Warren went on to say that while there was nothing good about Matthew's death, she said, what we found is that we could have let that moment kind of engulf us, or we could turn it over to God and let God then turn that death into a resurrection. And she went on to say how many good things came out of that horrible thing. The love and comfort of family and friends. A deeper experience of what it means not just to lead a church, but to be part of the body of Christ, to be part of a church. And perhaps one of the most important things of all, she said that she and her husband, Rick, were kind of brought center stage, and they were able to talk more openly about taking a role in raising the awareness of the scourges of mental and emotional illness and working to deal with them, not as a shameful sin, but as a disease that needs treatment like any other disease, something we're trying to do over at our Hope and Healing Center. So really, the more important question to ask is, as the good rabbi pointed out, is not why, but the real question for us is what to do. When bad things happen to good people, which they do, what do we do? Now, obviously, there's something going on in the Roman church here because Paul is talking about suffering, and he's already done it once in the letter. And in chapter 5, he talks about suffering. And one of the things that's happening is that many are finding that the cost of being a Christian, the cost of loving others, the cost of laying down what had become societal norms of classism and religious exclusion, the cost of following Jesus was becoming painful. In some cases, as Jesus predicted, it would mean families would split wide open. In other cases, it meant arrest, torture, trial, for some execution. And Paul was not suggesting, oh, don't worry, friends, all those are good things. But he was giving those Roman Christians an anchor. Hold on to Jesus because he's holding on to you. What happens when tragedy strikes? We become uneasy, don't we? I mean, we feel out of control. We may feel like we're robbed of something. Deep down, we may feel as though we have been abandoned by God. But that's where this little passage steps in. And Paul says, yes, we all experience pain and loss, but don't let that pain and loss have the last word. My mentor, John Quapel, used to say all the time, despair is presumptuous. Despair presumes that God is not God, that God can't redeem or transform what seems beyond redemption, beyond transformation. But you and I know that's not true. I mean, if you live with anybody, then the person who's in the mirror, if you just go out and talk to people, you and I meet people all the time who seem to have this incredible ability through their trust in God to turn the darkness of the Good Friday, to look it right in the eye and hand it over to God and somehow to experience an Easter Sunday. Kara Tippetts was that kind of woman. She was an author, mother of four. With her husband, they co-pastored a church together, but she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She began this long season of trying to triumph over that disease. But throughout her battle, the cancer spread. And Kara found that the best way to embrace her battle was simply to try to deepen her trust in God. She believed that cancer was not the point, but Jesus was. And in the fall of 2014, she published her story in a book entitled The Hardest Piece. She refused to be defined by cancer and considered every moment a gift and an opportunity to learn more about grace and trusting God. She believed suffering was not the absence of beauty, but an opportunity to understand God's love on a deeper level. And near the end of her life, Kara wrote this in her book. She wrote, "My little body has grown tired of the battle, and treatment is no longer helping. But what I see, what I know, what I have is Jesus. He's still giving me breath, and with that I pray I would live well and fade well. By degrees, doing both, living and dying as I have moments left to live, I get to draw my people close, kiss them tenderly, speak love over their lives. I get to pray into eternity my hopes and my fears for the moments of my loves. I get to laugh and cry and wonder over heaven. I do not feel like I have the courage for this journey, but I have Jesus. And he will provide. He has given me so much to be grateful for. And that gratitude, that wandering over his love will cover us all and will carry us in ways we cannot comprehend." In ways we cannot comprehend. It's not really about understanding. It's about trusting. When bad things happen, it gives us reason to pause, to consider the direction of our lives, who we are on the inside and on the outside, how we relate to others, how we relate to God. And it also gives us an opportunity to consider how God works, how he works when the shadows of life come. I've entitled this little sermon, How God Works, because really that's the question to be answered when it comes to pain and suffering. How does he work? He loves us. He loves us. The end of that Romans passage reminds us of that. We often read this portion at burial services to remind us of the hope there is, even in the darkest moments. Paul writes, Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an incredible promise that is. And it's, frankly, it's one of the things that's kept me planted solidly in the Christian faith, because we don't have a God who works against us. We have a God who is constantly working for us, working toward us. Now, we are given the gift of divine freedom. We can reject that love if we want. We can put our hand up against it. God gives us that freedom, but he will not stop loving us. He will not stop trying to heal our souls. He gives us a love that never, never ceases. Nothing, nothing can separate us from it. And if we can hold on to that, friends, I think it will see us through. A few weeks ago, one of my closest friends was going through a terrible time. It was a situation over which he had absolutely no control. And on a Sunday afternoon, we talked together, we wept together, we prayed together. But honestly, I felt like my words were just words. His situation seemed so dire. The next morning, I came into my office. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I opened a desk drawer I have not opened in years. I opened it to put something in there. There were two things in the drawer. I was kind of hoping I had left some money in there I'd forgotten about, but that wasn't in there. Two things. One was a manual for my old desktop computer. It had lots of instructions on how to use it, all the things it did, and what precisely to do if the computer crashed. And you know, some of us are looking for that manual, that magic lamp, that snake oil, that cloak of invisibility, if you're a Harry Potter fan, that will enable us to kind of get through this life either without a crash at all, or if we do have a crash, we hope there's going to be an easy answer, quick solution. But sometimes there is not. Sometimes we just have to trust that the love of God in Christ Jesus will see us through. Now, I said there were two things in the drawer. One was this how-to manual, and the other was a prayer. It was on one page. I don't know when I printed it. I don't know when I slipped it in that drawer. It was years ago. It was not a how-to manual. It was a reminder of what to do when the how-to doesn't work. It was instead, it was a blessing of sorts. It was attributed to St. Francis. It was a reminder of how God works. Under the heading of be at peace, be at peace, it goes like this. Let me read it to you. Be at peace. Do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Rather, look to them with full hope as they arise. God, whose very own you are, will deliver you from out of them. He has kept you hitherto, and he will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will bury you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put all anxious thoughts and imaginations aside. So I opened up my laptop and I typed those words and I emailed them to my friend. And within an hour, he emailed me back and said, "That's what I needed to hear." Are you suffering today? Are you suffering today? Are you in pain or anxious or worried or afraid? What do you need to hear? I don't have a how-to manual. All I have to offer is how God works. And I think, I honestly believe, God is not the cause of your pain and suffering. But I do believe God works all things towards a greater good. And how does he do that? By loving you. And nothing, not depth, nor height, nor peril, nor pain, nor things that are, nor things to come, not suffering, not death itself can separate you from that love. Love without limits, love without borders, love without end. That's how God works. Trust in that love. Don't be afraid. Be at peace. Be at peace.